Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word this evening is the lesson I just read for you, Matthew chapter 16, beginning at the 13th verse. And tonight we continue with our sermon series on the theme of Come Take Up Your Cross. And tonight we have Come Take Up Your Cross, Peter. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, you just heard the lesson. How could one person, get it so right and then 5 minutes later get it so wrong? How could that happen? Out of all the disciples, Peter says to our Lord Jesus, he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter's the first to speak up. And he says, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you." One of the finest compliments we have in all of Scripture from the Lord. "Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then Jesus says he must go to his cross in Jerusalem. And Peter takes him aside and begins to rebuke him. Begins to tell him, "This is not going to happen for you, Lord. You're not going to go to Jerusalem. You're not going to go to your cross." And Jesus has to say to him in anger, he says, "Get behind me," what? Satan. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You're sticking your foot out trying to trip me up. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." 1 minute he's working with the Lord. 5 minutes later, he's working flat out against the Lord. Now, on these Wednesdays, we've been talking about the Blessed Holy Cross. And we saw how Moses, the mighty man, was crushed by the hand of God, so that in the end, what you find is not a mighty man anymore, but a man of prayer that looks to the good Lord. We saw how relentless opposition against the prophet Jeremiah made him want to hear not the words of man anymore. "I don't want to hear it. I want to hear what God has to say. I want to hear his voice." And last week we saw the sword that would pass through Mary and what would have to happen for her. The mother in her would have to step down so that the believer could come forth. A crushing cross, a relentless cross, a piercing cross, but all of them, as difficult as it is to say it, especially when you're going through it, all of them, the Blessed Holy Cross, by which God does his best work in each of us. But what do you do when the cross that you have to carry is not some thing that happens to you from the outside, but rather it is something that arises on the inside? Let's put it another way. What do you do when the cross that you have to carry is you? What do you do when you are the cross in your own life? Now, from the get-go, we should say that whether you realize it or not, that is true of every one of us. I don't think you can be a Christian person if you haven't at least once grieved along with St. Paul and said, "Wretched man or wretched woman that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Book of Romans. I don't think you can be much of a Christian or without having grieved along with King David in Psalm 39. I love his words. He said, "I made a promise. I will watch my ways. I will keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while I'm in the presence of the wicked. So I remain utterly silent, not even saying anything good. But my anguish increased, and my heart grew hot within me. And while I meditated, the fire burned, and then I spoke with my tongue." We would say today he shot off his big mouth, even though he didn't want to. I don't think you can be a Christian person for very long if you don't understand folks like this, like Paul or like David, or if without saying to yourself, you know, Lord, when am I going to be done with me? I can point out the other people, but I know what goes on inside of me as well. Well, at the same time, as that is true, it seems to me we should recognize that there are people who come along, like St. Peter, who make it so painfully obvious that they are themselves their own cross that the rest of us, I think, can draw some comfort for it. And not only because they're a fellow traveler with us, but to quote the Bible, where sin increased, there also grace increased. Where sin increased, grace increased. In other words, God's grace abounded to them. And who more so than St. Peter, the fellow who, like King David so often, shot off his mouth? How did he survive himself? Several places in the Gospels, we have interactions between Peter and the Lord Jesus. The first time he met the Lord Jesus, what did he say? Do you know? The first time he met Jesus, Jesus who came into the world to save sinners, and Peter said, "Go away." That's literally his words. "Go away from me, Lord, because I am a sinful man," which does not make a lick of sense. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, but he says, "Go away because I'm a sinful man." Then you got tonight's lesson. And what happens there? He makes the most magnificent confession of Christ, and then right after that becomes the most miserable pawn of the devil. Even though he doesn't realize it, he actually is trying to stop Jesus' work of salvation. And then there's the Last Supper, when Peter is at the table with the Lord Jesus and he cries out famously. He says, "Lord, even if all these other disciples deny you, I never will." How long did it take for something else to come out of his mouth? Tonight's lesson brings out that in this one man, there is the blessed Peter and the cursed Peter. He is blessed by the Lord Jesus and commended by the Lord Jesus when the Holy Spirit is at work and when God's words come out of his mouth, but he's under a curse and he's condemned by the Lord Jesus when his own words come out of his mouth and his own thoughts and his own ideas. And that's a pitiable thing if you think about for a moment, where you're in a situation where everything that you generate comes out of the curse of God. It comes under his curse. True for Peter. True for anybody else. Everything that comes from just you. Because it puts you in the position of Cain, the fellow with the mark on him. It puts you in the position of King Saul, where the Lord regretted making him king. It puts you in the position of Judas, who would have been better if he had not been born. In other words, it puts you with the human race. And it puts you in the position of you, where you are, who you are. St. Paul said it, Romans 7. He said, "I know," this is a fact, "I know that no good thing dwells in me," that is, in my sinful nature. Prophet Jeremiah, "The heart is desperately wicked and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Again, St. Paul, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And when you realize a person speaking like that and you realize that the words apply to you as well too, you got to ask yourself a question. That is, what is it that separates you and Peter from Cain or Saul or Judas or the right anger of your God upon you? How do you survive yourself? You know the answer. You survive because the only thing that separates you from those others is the blood of the Son of God that washes you clean. And that is that the anger of God was redirected away from you and directed onto his Son. And that's why a Christian person says just the opposite of Peter when they first know the Lord, they say what? Not go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinner, but what do you say? You say, come to me, Lord. Draw near to me, Lord, for I am a sinful person, and you alone are my hope. And there is nothing that brings that home like the blessed Holy Cross. The cross that is you. The cross that is your own sinful nature. The cross by which you daily sin against your God and your neighbor in words and actions and thoughts and plans. And take one look at you and take one look at me, and it is painfully obvious, but it's also blessedly obvious that for each of us, we are the greatest cross we will ever carry. And how are you going to survive yourself? You only survive by the mercy and the grace of the cross of your Lord Jesus. You only survive because of the fact that where sin increased, there also grace increased. You only survive because of the fact that wretched man, wretched woman I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You survive because you can say the fact, what you know, and that is, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.